Mr. Chairman, this is Blanca Garcia on the line.
Well, how are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Blanca.
Hi, everyone.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay, so Cynthia has raised her hand, meaning that we are now broadcasting live. This is our first emergency meeting of our board of directors. And we have in attendance, we have Teresa Bastian, Anthony Nguyen, Phil Viola, Ryan Steglich, Mr. Valdez, and Bruce Gruby. Are there any other board members in attendance that I haven't? Then we have a quorum, and I will let it go over to you, Mr. Valdez, to open the meeting.
So the time is 9:01. I'd like to call the meeting of the Traverse Central Appraisal District's Board of Directors to order. Wednesday, March 25th, 2020, we are conducting this meeting via Zoom meeting service, and a quorum is present. The first item on our agenda is citizens communications. Do we have any citizens signed up?
We have not received any speaker registrations.
Okay. With no citizens signed up, the next item we have on our agenda is, regular agenda, item A, discussion and possible action regarding district operations during the emergency created by the COVID respiratory virus known as COVID-19, including changes affecting district employees. And then I'll let Maria take away on item one.
Okay. So we have a, just to give you an update on what we have done so far, and then we can get into the decisions that we need the board to make. We have been following the guidance as issued by Travis County and the City of Austin as we progress through. Yesterday, there was a more restrictive order that was placed that is a stay home, work safe order. That limits activity and travel for the citizens of Travis County and the City of Austin to help constrain the potential spread of the COVID-19 virus. It does exclude from the restrictions essential services and critical infrastructure. I've been talking with Bruce Alphonse. We're at the tax office. The tax office has been designated as an essential service. I feel that the appraisal district is also an essential service, similar to the tax office. But that is something that we will put before our board if you would like to make a different designation. Most appraisal districts across the state have also had similar stay in place or shelter in place orders, and most of them are also deemed or designated as essential services and continue operations. But there is one notable exception in that list, and that is Dallas Central Appraisal District in Dallas County. And they have shuttered their office completely due to their stay home, work safe order that was issued by the Dallas County judge. So that was the first thing that I would ask our board is, if you would want to make a different designation than the appraisal district is an essential service, we would need to know that so that we can adopt our policies and procedures appropriately.
This is Bruce. I'm here.
Hey, Bruce.
Maria, what's your opinion about all of that?
I would deem us to be an essential service. We are crucial to the economic continuity of our taxing units. And if we're not doing the job that we're required to do, then the tax office can't do the job that it's required to do. And if the tax office is essential, then I would feel that we would be essential as well. We have taken all steps necessary to try to protect our staff as much as possible. We've gotten down to as much of a skeleton crew in office as we can. We are still working to transition a few more employees to telework so that we limit the amount of staff that we have physically on site. So we are taking all necessary protective measures. but I do think that the work that we do is incredibly important to the property owners.
Thank you.
I have a question, and maybe it's too anecdotal to be relevant, so y'all can tell me if you feel that way, but I saw some... Can you hear me okay? There's feedback. Okay. I saw somebody online complaining about their father having to work at like the Social Security office or something, like a state kind of entity. Mm-hmm. That almost everybody was working from home, but not this one person, which probably wasn't just one, but the concern was that this is someone who's in the classification for being at higher risk for this virus. So can you speak to who the people are that are working in person and their spirits about that or how they were selected?
Sure. So we are, you know, we've modeled our policies and practices after the guidelines and what Travis County and the tax office are doing. We have been generous with our use of leave, vacation, or sick leave. So any employee that is in a protected class or a vulnerable risk population, that if their work cannot translate to telework, we have been very generous in allowing them to use their accrued leave. So nobody is being forced to work at the appraisal district. If they don't have the accrued leave, we are allowing them to do a use a leave without pay as if they don't have the accrued leave at this point. So we do not have, I am not aware that we have any person in a vulnerable population that is not either teleworking or has not been granted leave.
Okay. Thank you. Is there an argument for making a ruling other, you know, different than the city and county order?
You know,
it doesn't really seem like that's my area of expertise.
You know, part of the, you know, there's two sides to it. You know, the COVID-19 is spread by contact. So trying to limit contact as much as possible is a benefit in terms of not spreading COVID-19. We have within our office, we're doing social distancing. So employees are further than 6 feet apart. We've got lots of hand washing, sanitation stations available. Employees are screened to make sure that they don't have fever. If they have any appearance of being sick, they're being sent home. We are, again, preaching and training on good hygiene and social distancing practices. So I think that we don't have much risk in our office, just given the fact that we're trying to get that staff there to 10 or fewer. We won't have much risk with the on-site staff. To some point, we need people on-site to support the work being done by telework. The mail still needs to be collected and distributed. You know, the servers and the computer equipment still needs to be checked and make sure that it's still running, so that everybody else can continue to telework. So I think we've got good practices in place. We've got good good screening in place. We are able to control and require social distancing. So I don't think that that's a concern for us. The ruling in favor of us being an essential service and continuing to do our job is, you know, I would hate to have our staff be at home, not doing productive work to the benefit of the property owners, but still collecting paychecks paid with by tax dollars. A lot of taxpayers are going to be hurting in this situation, and I don't think it would be fair to ask them to pay government employees to be at home and not work while we're still going to require them to pay their property taxes. There's a lot of work that we can do in support of our community and to ensure that our jobs get done. We can do a lot of that work remotely, and I think that we should.
Okay. Maria, I have a question in that vein. What if I have a compromised immune system?
Uh-huh.
Do I still have to take pay without, leave without pay?
We are allowing employees to do their accrued sick and vacation if they need to. Most of our employees, we have telework that they can do so that they can work remotely from home. But we do have an additional agenda item on there to address this once we get past the declaration of essential services, we have an agenda item to talk about employee benefits and what to do if we have or run into a circumstance.
I would support that if you have a compromised immune system, you're not someone that needs to come in.
Yes.
I have relatives like that that work for the county, that their supervisor went straight to them and said, you're the first one that can go home and work from home, but be productive at home. Yeah.
Yeah, we have converted most jobs to telework. We're still working on the phone systems in order to be able to convert that, but we hope that we'll have a solution shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Question. So this decision about essential services, is this ours to make? And what are we saying? If we are saying that we are an essential service, that we're still operating, but our staff isn't going to the office, they're working remotely. And if we say that we're not an essential service, this means that we shut down and we don't operate. And then I guess the third question is, what are we doing as we are working? Exactly. What service are we providing? Because we know we're not changing values for residential. So what are we doing?
So our appraisers are still going through their modeling. We have a lot of aerial photography that we are able to utilize in terms of going through the county, looking at properties, using our aerial photography and similar tools. We are still going through reviewing permit information, looking at deed information, researching properties. There's a lot of work that we can still do remotely, and staff are continuing to do those kind of projects, even while they are at home. We are also looking to start prepping for our 2020 season, and identifying properties that need to be reviewed for 2020, identifying the work that we can do remotely using tools that we have available on that. We're also reviewing property characteristics on all of our properties, looking at the sketches that we have in place, verifying that the sketches match the actual aerial imagery that we have in place to ensure that our data is accurate. So there's a lot of work that staff can continue to do that is meaningful and valuable and will help us in the future. And we are having them work on those kind of projects. We also will have staff that is answering the phone. We're working on solutions. We can port our phone system to remote locations to our staff. And we will start answering questions for any property owner that may want to protest telephonically and have that put into play. So there is a lot for the staff to do. A lot of the work can be done through remote access and telework. If the board decides to make a decision that the appraisal district is not an essential service and we shut down completely, that's ceasing all operations. And I just don't recommend that. But I just wanted to make you aware that there is another appraisal district out there where that decision was made in that way, in case the board feels differently.
Well, my personal thought just about this is, I don't know if we're essential. Essential to me means like picking up food, groceries, that's an essential service. Appraising property, it's important, but I wish, it sounds like we are following these orders and our staff isn't coming together to the office. Can we still work even if you're not deemed essential service? Or if we aren't deemed an essential service, you just can't work at all. And I'm kind of curious how Dallas County is, they're not working at all. What are they going to do about appraisals? Or what is their thinking, that nobody can protest until after the order is lifted? And they're just, is there a middle ground where we don't say we're essential, but we're still virtually working for the ones that can work?
To maintain and have the staff that we need to have on site, because there are some things that need to be done to support our telework environment, I think we probably need to make sure that we maintain the position that we are an essential service and part of the critical infrastructure. There may be feelings otherwise. Dusty, do you have a feeling one way or the other?
Yeah, so what I have to say is that, so if you decide to adopt a different definition of your own, that's going to be a definition of Travis CAD. Those orders definitely define us as a essential critical infrastructure, because a part of that definition, if you were to go to those orders provided, and you specifically, if you were to go to the county one issued by the Travis County judge under it's section 6D, if you were to go read the definition of what essential critical infrastructure, it includes facilities that provide economic continuity of the county of Travis. And so there's no other entities such as ourselves who provide that. I mean, the tax units are relying upon us to get our appraised values in so that the whole tax system is based on the appraisal district. So I think you're going to start seeing a lot of that coming forth in the public. You've already seen Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick coming out and saying, hey, the economy is essential right now. And I think if you were to say we're not essential, which is not going to affect the definitions provided by the Travis County order and the city of Austin mayor's order, it would be contrary to that.
I feel Mario, uncomfortable. Oh, go ahead.
Maria, I was wondering if you could speak to the two trigger dates that I'm aware of, and there's probably more, but the April 15th, I think it's rendition date, and then the May 15th date as well, and what the repercussions would be in the event, Anthony recommends what I think he's pointing at. Can you speak to the level of work that's needing to be done to achieve those two trigger dates?
Sure. So the April 15th is the rendition deadline. It's the deadline for property owners to file their renditions. The appraisal district has the latitude to grant a 30-day extension rendition filing. And we may pull the trigger to grant that extension on 30 days for the rendition filing. That would shift that deadline to May 15th to allow the business owners an opportunity to get their filing in. We cannot go beyond our statutory authority of May 15th on the rendition filing deadline unless the governor takes action to waive that specific provision in the tax code.
Go ahead.
So the other deadline you have is May 15th. The May 15th deadline is the deadline for filing protest, but the deadline to file protest is May 15th or 30 days after the notices of appraised value have been mailed. We are still on target to start processing and mailing our notices of appraised value on April 1st and getting those out the first week of April. So I don't see that there would be a need to delay that if we continue our operations. If we cease operations, then that deadline gets extended until we mail our notices. The issue and concern that we have is we still have certification deadlines and dates that cannot or have not been shifted. So we're still required to send an estimate to the taxing jurisdictions by July 25th that they will be using for budget purposes, and our ARB still has records approved by August 30th and reach our certification goals by that deadline. So any time that we delay on the front end compresses the time for the appraisal review board on that back end. We would still have to wait to see if the governor issued any orders, waived any pieces of legislation that shifted or changed our deadlines. At this point, we have not seen any waivers or changes from the governor's office.
So for all of those reasons, I would obviously be in support of not ceasing operations and taking the position that the district is in fact an essential service, but I would like to revisit some of those elements that Blanca was bringing in and Teresa was bringing in to ensure that we're looking out for the staff members that are most vulnerable at the district.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed. Do we need a motion on that? Or because it's already defined in the order, aren't we just choosing to go along with the order, or do we need a specific motion?
I would like for our board to make a motion on that one, just so that we have it on record, that we're okay with continuing operations in the manner that we have been.
Something like, I move that the Travis County Appraisal District be considered an essential government function, and while we are operational, we are using the principles of social distancing and advocating telework, especially for our most vulnerable employees.
Perfect.
Second.
Item has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
No
comment.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
It sounds like a unanimous vote. Motion passes. Mario, where are we on?
Kind of bundled up together. We are remote working, setting up telework for our staff and employees. We are looking to implement new technology that will allow us to port our phone system so that our call center can still continue to be operational while working remotely from their homes. But one of the things that has come up, and we've talked about that a little bit more, is employee benefits and how do we provide employee benefits during the time of COVID-19. Again, we have been following as closely as we could within the limits of our policies, the practices of the county and the tax office. But one of the things that they have that we do not have, I'll put it out for consideration by our board, is that they have allowed for 5 days of administrative leave that they designated as COVID-19 administrative leave for those employees whose positions cannot be translated to telework. They are providing the administrative leave. At this point, it's 5 days of administrative leave. They're also using it so that they can do more shift work for the employees whose jobs do not allow for telework. Half of them will come in on one day, the other half will come on the other day, and they're splitting their admin leave amongst the staff that way to make it and extend it as long as possible. We are allowing our staff to the extent possible, if they are vulnerable or in a vulnerable population, and they do not or cannot telework, we are allowing them to use their sick and accrued vacation. The question becomes is, what do you do once they've exhausted their sick and accrued vacation? Right now, our policies would put them on leave without pay, but if the board adopted the ability for us to grant them administrative leave under COVID-19 for up to 5 days, similar to what the county is doing, that would provide them the ability to have some administrative leave to use in those circumstances. And so I would recommend that we would adopt a policy similar to what the county and the tax office are doing. And if the policy of the county or the tax office extends or amends additional days, that we would follow suit.
How many employees are we talking about in this category?
We have one maintenance person who may fall into this category. They still have a balance of accrued sick and vacation that they can utilize. And we have one other staff member who would fall in this situation, an IT help desk person, that if there's not staff in a building, there's not many people there that he can help that would need to stay home because he's in a vulnerable population.
So out of all of your employees, we're only talking about two people?
Yes, at this point that we know of.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Well, I would move that TCAD adopt the same administrative leave policy as the tax office.
Second.
Item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. Motion passes with one abstention and the rest being ayes. No noes on that. Next item.
The other issue for our board, because the board adopted the informal meeting policy, in light of COVID-19 and the requirement to do distancing, our offices were following suit again with the operational procedures of the city, the county, and the tax office. Lobbies have been closed to public interactions. We've been encouraging the public to utilize our online resources, phone and email. We're approaching the time when we would have started in face-to-face meetings. We were going to utilize the Travis County Community Centers and do some off-site informal meetings, but the community centers have informed us that they are closed until further notice due to COVID-19. So we won't have that available to us for informal meetings with the property owners face-to-face. Also, because of the risk to staff and the interactions to the public and the risk to the public for the spread of COVID-19, I wouldn't recommend that we do face-to-face informal meetings at this point in time. So we have amended the policies just to reflect the ability of the appraisal district to continue to offer those kind of in-person interactions, but they would be done telephonically instead of face-to-face. So we would encourage property owners, we can utilize the check-in system that we were going to use for property owners to get in line, where they can go online and get in line. But instead of getting in line to physically come into the office, they would be getting in line to get a call back from the appraisal district. So as they come up and their number comes up in the queue, the appraiser can give them a call back and we can have a discussion with them about any concerns they may have in an attempt to resolve any informal issues that we could. So the recommendation is just to adopt an amended plan for our informal meetings, converting those from in-person to telephonic activities.
So moved.
Go ahead.
I just have one question. I didn't see it on the agenda. Mm-hmm. I know it's more informal and it makes sense to not have informal face-to-face considering it is an optional thing. But have we thought about the formal hearings and how that's going to work?
I've got a conference call that I'll be participating in with the comptroller's office on Thursday. The issues have been brought to the governor's office, to the attention of the governor's office. The appraisal review board, most of the members of the appraisal review board fall into a vulnerable category. The question is one, are they going to be willing to provide the service and come in when they are in a vulnerable category, or are they going to be doing the stay at home? And if they do stay at home, will we have enough ARB members physically on site to do on site formal hearings? And the other question would be, is there an opportunity the governor may waive the requirement for in-person meetings so that we can do the ARB hearings telephonically? And if so, then I would recommend that we transition and convert to a telephonic environment for formal hearings. Again, you know, we have so many public members that we come in for a formal hearing from across the county. If we're not careful, we could become a real vector of infection and a vector for spread of COVID-19. So I want to make sure that we have best practices in place, that we're protecting not only our staff, our ARB members, but also the community at large.
When you say telephonically, does that include video conferencing or is it strictly audio conference?
It depends on the capabilities of both our ARB members and the public as to whether or not we would be able to do it video conferencing. We certainly would explore the ability to make some of that available. But I think there is already provisions in the tax code to do the formal hearings telephonically. So we know with the certainty that we can do it telephonically and still be within the guidelines of the tax code. The question is can we do it by video conference? And does the technology exist amongst all players in order to facilitate that? And that right now is an unknown answer.
So for this current motion, we're really just deciding to suspend face-to-face meetings for informal hearings.
Yes.
And we'll make the decision on the formals at a later time.
Yes.
That seems reasonable.
Ryan here, a question about, is it truly our decision about the ARB, or this is the ARB's decision and we're just going to weigh in on it, give our opinion once that comes up for formal hearings?
I think that it will be a decision of the ARB, the governor, and the comptroller's office, but we will need to, because we provide facilities and technology to facilitate those hearings. It will be an issue that we will need to address, but at this point in time, we don't have enough guidance from either the governor's office or the comptroller's office, and that hasn't been given to the ARB at this point, so I don't have any recommendations right now relative to formal hearings.
I would move that we implement non-face-to-face meetings via telephone or the internet.
I second that.
Okay, item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That sounds unanimous to me. Motion passes. On to item 2, other services to the taxpayer.
And again, the same with the informal meeting. We have closed our lobby to face-to-face public interactions. I don't have any motion or recommendation. It's just to be informative to both the board and the public that we are still operational. We still have a call center and are accepting calls. We have email. We have our online portal. We do have a Dropbox in the front of the building, so if there are any applications that need to be dropped off, we are still accepting and processing mail. And so we are still open for business and conducting the business of Travis County. We just are doing face-to-face interactions at this time.
Mario, if I might, you've got a very difficult job in a very, very difficult time. And, you know, I appreciate what you're up against, and an awful lot of what needs to be decided, you're going to simply have to decide in the field. And I appreciate you coming to us, you know, to let us know what's going on and asking for recommendations. But, you know, I trust you in what, and what you're going to need to do. So, you know, thank you for the really good job you've done so far. And Bruce Elfand, if you're still on the line, ditto for you. It's a tough situation.
I appreciate that.
I'd also like to compliment the update to the website. If you haven't looked, fellow board members, I mean, the Learn More button kind of outlines the details of how people can still interact with TCAD, and I think it's very clear.
Yeah, good point.
That is all that we had. We will schedule a date and time for our next regular meeting. That we'll have. Again, I think will be another to ensure that we continue to practice good social distancing. We will continue, I would recommend continue to do our meetings telephonically. And Zoom is the platform that we have been using for our video conferencing, telephonic conferencing. And so we will continue to use this platform. We will explore if there are other better alternatives and options. If we can improve upon it, we certainly will. But I think for the near future, this is the way that we will be conducting business. Are there any other questions from the board or recommendations, anything that you would want us to consider?
I have one question, Maureen. I'm sure you already do it because you're doing everything possible to protect everyone, the public and all the employees. Is the building disinfected every so many days?
Yes, we have got a cleaning crew that we have asked to come in, and they do a regular deep cleaning on it. We also have our maintenance staff that he puts on some protective wear and he's got some sanitizing things he can continually go through and wipe down commonly used surfaces. We've got hand sanitizer stations located throughout the building and in every department. And we have been practicing and preaching to our staff to practice good social distancing and to practice good hand hygiene. I even created a video for our staff on how to correctly wash their hands. So we are doing everything that we can within the building to protect staff.
Along the same line of that, the new building, has that continuing to work, or is that not?
We are, in light of the order that just got issued by the city effective last night, we are still waiting to see if our contractor will continue to work. We do expect that there may be delays because of delays within the supply chain and also delays within the city of Austin and just getting inspections if they continue to do construction. But as of yesterday, they were continuing. We don't know if their corporate office will make a different or has made a different determination yet.
Let's add that to a future agenda that you can update us when it's understandable they don't know yet, but I'd like to stay updated on that too, Anthony.
Absolutely.
So we do plan by the end of the month to still send out notice of change for any changes in value above $1,000.
Yeah, for any that we are required to send a notice of appraised value out, we are still on schedule to send our required notices.
Amaria, can you clarify? I believe last year everyone got a notice, either a full notice or a postcard. What is the strategy this year?
That is still our same plan. Property owners will either receive a full notice or they will receive a postcard letting them know. And we are still putting electronic copies of a notice online and a copy of the protest form online that they'll be able to go to the website and pull it from the website as well. But if they don't receive a full paper notice, they will receive a postcard letting them know that that information is available online.
Any other items we'd like to see on the next agenda for any board member? Mario, are we ready for adjournment?
We are ready.
Okay, at 9:38, the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors stands adjourned.
All right, thank you guys very much.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You.
Stay safe.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Everyone have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. All right.